Yesterday, here on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris took us down the road of raising our children wisely. Well, today, we continue where we left off, looking at this very important topic and providing some very practical answers as it relates to how we raise and train our children for Christ. If you have questions about this program or any broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. It's as simple as pulling out your smartphone, going to the Voice Memo app, and recording your question or your praise report. Don't forget your name and where you're calling from, then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use it, we'll let you know and email you back. Right now, let's catch up with Pastor Chris once again in studio here on Abounding Grace. Back in studio again, Chris. You know, we began yesterday talking about raising children, raising our kids wisely for the glory of God. I'd like for you to recap for us briefly where we were yesterday as we move forward today, especially as it relates to the fact that we are teaching our kids to walk away from the church at a very early age, aren't we?
Yeah, the question that we're wrestling with is, where are all of our young people going? This is a question that I think every church right now is wrestling with, especially in our changing times and culture. We're obviously facing new challenges. We haven't even got into the social media aspect of this.
Right.
But there's new challenges that we're facing. And what we talked about last time was, you know, parents are sort of in panic mode today. What do we do? Our children are leaving the church. And when we're in panic mode, we tend to make very poor decisions. Sometimes people will try to change the whole direction of a church, all for the young people. And that's just a catastrophe. What we looked at last time was to say, we have to first go back to the beginning. This is not the beginning of a problem when your young adult leaves the church. This is the end of a problem, I believe, that often. Now, again, when we talk about these things, it's important to say, listen, there can be a variety of reasons and factors that anything happens in life.
Right.
Right. We're looking at general truths, and we're trying to help people with trajectories and wisdom principles that are most helpful to retain our young adults and keep them. And one of the things that we have to recover again, if we look at what has happened in the life of the church, is recovering keeping children in the church.
Yeah.
From the earliest of age. We talked about those formative years, the important years where those developmental years of nurture that we know need to take place between a mother and a child, a father and a child in those very, very, very early years, 1 through 5, how important that is, that right then and there, if there's no nurture and care, there's going to be a lot of problems later on. Well, I would transfer that to the church, the same sort of importance of how we're training them and what is important. I don't like children's church for that reason. I think they're meant to be trained to sit with parents and realize they are a part of the church just like their parents are a part of the church.
All right. Let's pause right there for a moment, because I know that we've got folks listening today here to Abounding Grace Radio who are going, yeah, but this and but that, and they've got excuses for this, and I hear them all the time. So let's take a moment and deal with one or two of those excuses. Well, you know, a kid learns at a different age than adults, and most what goes on in the sanctuary is very adult in nature, and so we want to put the kids in an environment where they can learn at their specific age level, pretty much like school, right? How do you address that?
We call that Sunday school. that's also lost today, but we call that Sunday school. There's something very important about corporate worship. And that's why what are people complaining about today when their young adults leave? It's not that they're, you know, it's not that they're not doing enough activities. It's that they're leaving the worship of God. They're no longer coming to church. What church? That's important. Not Sunday school, church, where the church gathers to worship the Lord. There's something very special happening. And what I'm saying is, we want to keep our children there from the youngest of ages to sit with church, to be disciplined, to learn how to sit, to be still. Are our children restless today? Sit, to be still, and to listen to the word of God. And if they can't understand it, I would challenge that somewhat. I think children take in a lot more than we think.
Well, does that also not say something about the quote-unquote
ineffectiveness of the Holy Spirit if he can't reach a child with the same word of God that's being preached to an adult?
Yeah, I mean, I gave the example last week of preaching a sermon from John, and a little tiny girl was there, and I gave a rhetorical question. She belted out the answer, and everyone, you know, got the biggest kick out of that. But it was a precious moment. It really was a precious moment. That little child had been listening.
Very telling.
And that little child did. There was nothing more important than for her to sit and receive God's grace through the preaching of the gospel too. Good preaching speaks to every age group, by the way. You know, it's not so intellectual and heady that it doesn't reach the child, right?
Right.
And it's not so, you know, what word might we say, simple, that it doesn't even help and affect the theologian sitting there, the doctor, whoever. Yeah. The point is that good preaching applied by the work of the Holy Spirit affects everyone, even our little children.
Yes.
And even if they can't fully grasp everything that's going on there, there's something beautiful about them feeling that they are a part of this, that they are important in this too. Sending them out communicates the wrong message. If we've sent them out from the beginning, why would we expect them to come back later? See, that's the question, isn't it?
It is. And then if you want to add to that, it seems to me that if these children do grow up and come back, they're changing the whole dynamic of church because they've been raised in the youth church to have way too much fun and have way too many games. And now we've got a church that doesn't even look like church because we've trained our own kids to have more fun than to worship, right?
Well, boy, does that not address a big problem? I mean, really, you know, you've got big people's church, and the churches that go on today, you got big people's church, and then you've got next door the jumpy things for the kids while the parents are in big church. I mean, again, what are we training them? What are we training them to view church as? Fun time? Play time? Entertainment time? And the answer is yeah. So then later on, they're not going to come back expecting anything serious. They've been taught from those early developmental years that this is playtime. Well, I hate to draw the connection, but in pressure today, when we have people responding in pressure, where are our young people going? What trajectory does that lead us in? It leads us back to the fun time,
right?
To try to keep them and retain them. And I would again say that that's a problem that has been longstanding, that has gone on for a long time. We've got to go back to the beginning and train them in what's most important. So, no, that's a really important point you raised, Andy. The church easily becomes an entertainment center because that's what our children have been programmed to believe it is from the earliest of age.
And actually, we are seeing that now in some of these bigger churches, just in the worship service, to where you've got, and it's a whole nother topic, we can deal with at a different time, but you see it just in the music approach, the way churches are approaching their music. It's a performance on stage, and it's a band, and it's clapping, and it's having fun, and just really having a great time. And I've got to wonder, Chris, what are we really doing when we've reached that point, right?
Well, and there's an interesting phenomenon to this. That while I said that, it's true that our children can come back and they're programmed a certain way. They also see the artificiality of this.
Yeah.
What's ironic to me is that a lot of the so-called megachurches today who are, you know, supposed to be the most hip churches in reaching their young adults are full of gray-haired baby boomers and are full of the older generation doing the contemporary entertainment stuff. And a lot of their children have not so much connected with it. So they looked for different avenues and different things to disassociate themselves from that. So that's another phenomenon. But I think you're absolutely right. What worship has become and what worship truly is are two very separate things now. And that's the sad development in this.
Interesting fact, too. And this was just, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. There was a study that was being done in San Francisco. The fastest growing church for the 20-something generation was Greek Orthodox. They were looking for something far deeper and meaningful than what they saw, like you said, the facade of fun.
Right. You had the emergent church movement. You had other movements along the way where people wanted to go back to first century stuff. I mean, they wanted roots again. You know, you walk into the megachurch today, there's not even a pulpit, maybe a plexiglass. It's a stage. Right?
Right.
A stage is not really appropriate for a church. A stage is for a performance.
Right.
You know, you walk into the church and the architecture and everything. What we've done in the American scene is say, we want to make this as least churchy as we can so it doesn't feel like church. So we've removed all the wood furniture. We don't have pews. We have seats. We have chairs. There's nothing concrete about it. There's nothing that makes it feel, it feels like a shopping mall. That's what we've wanted to create. It with, you know, this was the whole seeker model. Of Willow Creek and how to seek the average Harry and Mary and, you know, all that stuff that's come through. Well, it is interesting that generationally that the young adults have been confused. So not only have they been sent out at a young age, they haven't really appropriated or adopted and are struggling with what their parents are trying to do to win them. it's like they're not winning them. They're losing them even further, which makes you wonder is really the contemporary worship scene not even really about the young adults, but really about them.
Yeah.
You know? And these are important things to think about. The return to liturgics, the return to something that has a history and roots is something that they're craving because they want substance to their religion.
Yeah.
They want substance to what they're doing. And the current model is just not working. And I really believe this model cannot be sustained in the United States in the times that we're moving into, especially if it, as we've talked about on Abounding Grace, if we hit persecution, that model, the entertainment model, will go away quick. People will then realize we've been playing too many games, and now we need something that can actually address real needs in the midst of a culture that hates us.
Yeah, we're missing that holiness, that otherliness that to use, for lack of a better term at the moment, our traditional churches usually brought to the table. It was something that was beyond ourselves that we could actually find, like you said, roots to grow deep into. We just don't see that anymore in a lot of these churches that are, like you said, playing.
Right. So, getting back to the question of young people, you know, that's why we're in the age of people wanting things to be authentic and real. They're tired of hypocrisy and superficiality. Really, they're really tired of the hypocrisy. They're tired of the show.
Yeah.
They're not connecting with that. So if you want to do anything well for your young people, is especially if you have children in high school and are you know, hitting into those crucial teenage years, find a church that is really committed to preaching and proclaiming the word of God, the whole counsel of it, so that gravity and that substance is being given to them. They're being fed with that every week. You're going to do a great service to your children by putting them under that. But by and large, Andy, I got to say this, since this thought's in my head, what I typically find is that today, so, you know, we have Christian schools and we have parents in Christian schools, that even in the Christian schools, that really only about maybe 50 to 75% of them I don't know the total numbers on this, but somebody once told me that even in the Christian school, the parents have their children in church once a month.
Yeah.
It's just not that much of a priority anymore.
But see, here's the other challenge, and this is going to take us back to the table again and inside our homes instead of the church. We have relegated so much of our children's Christian life to other people. To the point to where I've actually heard parents say, well, that's not my job. That's the job of the youth pastor.
Well, we have kind of the village mentality, and, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, right? That's what everyone says in society.
It's my job to feed them, and it's my job to clothe them and get them to school, but it's your job to raise them in Christ.
Yeah, and I think that's another challenge, is that while we do believe in a covenantal framework for church and the blessings of God's people
to be sure,
helping us, all that,
yeah,
it's still the that primary responsibility does fall back on the family. And that's what we talked about last time, wasn't it? The importance of the family and making the table a place of priority again, and reading and praying and talking to your children and helping them through the issues of life. That's what good parenting does. We don't just delegate that out to everyone else. And if we're doing that, we're not doing our job as parents, then we can expect there to be problems.
And how lazy is it for parents to fall back on, you know, well, they've got to sow their oats, or, well, they got to live and learn, you know, they've got to make their mistakes. Do they really?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the age-old question. Do we really have to go sin to learn something? I mean, come on. The right way would be to go in the way of truth and of righteousness and choose the good and right way. Why would I want to go test the waters first to see if I really want to believe it or hold on to something? That's playing with fire. So that idea of let them first go sow the wild oats is just madness. There's nothing biblical about that.
Yeah, the preacher in Proverbs, my son, learn from me that you might live. See, I think we get it backwards, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to say this though, too. This can be rather crushing. We have to remember the gospel in the raising of our children too. In other words, in the way that we teach them, we are training them to understand the work of Christ and what they've done. And we have to model that as parents to them, that we're not just about behavior modification.
Right.
In other words, sometimes I think parents are just trying to get control of their children, and they're angry, they're frustrated, they're busy with life, things aren't going well, and the natural sort of tendency is to yell. The natural sort of tendency is to parent with anger. And I want to encourage parents here that the best thing you can do for your children is continue to love them and show them the love of Christ. Show them how the gospel has forgiven you. Show them what he has done for you, and treat them the same way. That's going to have a sort of wooing, winning effect on them. And that's really important, because all of this here, you know, we're talking about, we can talk about a lot of problems and a lot of things that we've done wrong, but the solution is most important. The solution is the cross. The solution is forgiveness. A child has to be won through the love of God. And that's going to produce and instill in them a desire to go and respond to what is good and what is true. So I don't think we can lose that in this discussion, right?
Right.
How are we going to really win our children back? Well, the great question is, what is the gospel? What has God and the gospel of his son done for you, Andy? You know, has he forgiven you? Has he loved you? Has he helped you? Has he picked you up when you've been a rotten son? Isn't there not a father-son relationship with you and God the Father? How has God the Father treated you, and how have you been as a son? And that kind of brings tears to our eyes, at least it should, thinking of how good he's been to us. That kind of same reciprocal relationship needs to be shown in our families.
And so often, sadly, instead of that, we end up like the unprofitable servant who has forgiven much and turns around and starts railing on a friend who owes him, you know, pennies.
Our children are not our slaves. They are meant to be loved and nurtured and cared for.
Chris, you know, we could, we've got about 4 minutes left here as we start wrapping up our time together today. There is just so much. And I know that so many parents out there are really struggling and challenging. And sadly, they're almost blind. It's like chickens running around with their heads cut off because they haven't been taught this in the churches. I mean, it's almost like a vicious cycle that we keep perpetuating. We have this situation, we train our kids, they go out, and then they come back and create the circle and cycle again. How do you encourage somebody, as we close out our time today, to break that cycle? What can folks practically do?
Well, I think practically we have to sit down and obviously, you know, one thing we don't do well enough as Christians is prayer. You know, J.C. Ryle once said, few pray. How few pray at all. He says, you know, it scarcely is anyone praying at all, he said, in his times. And I think that's true of our times. I think we talk a lot about prayer, and we boast about prayer, but I don't think people are really praying. And the Lord gives us an avenue to come to Him and to talk to Him about the burdens. Cast your cares upon Me, for I care for you. That's a Bible verse, yeah. Right? Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So He's inviting you with, you just said parents are stressed and worried and hurting. Have you talked to the Lord about these things? Have you gone to Him for help? He's the God of all help.
Yeah.
He's the God who delights to give help to His people who cry to Him. Lay out your burdens before Him. And you need to know also, Jesus said that without Me, you can do nothing. He did not say, without Me, you can almost do some things, right? He said, without Me, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
That means that all of your strength in this life, I think what I feel as I get older already, Andy, is just the weariness and the lack of strength to do what I want to do. There's so much in front of me. I don't know how to accomplish it all. It takes a lot of wisdom to know what I should accomplish and then the things that I'm pursuing that I shouldn't be pursuing, right? That's a priority issue. So I need strength from Him to be led by His light in the things that He wants me to do and to accomplish, and more to deny myself and put away those things in my life that I don't need to accomplish. And in that way, then, you're prioritizing your life and you're learning to put others in front of you. Raising children is one of the most sacrificial, self-denying things you will do in this life if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. And I think asking the Lord for strength and help and wisdom and growing as you come to worship in His Word and responding to the gospel yourself is going to be one of the greatest things that you can do for your children.
It really is. It starts there. It starts with prayer. And you're right, Chris. We cannot challenge folks enough in this area of prayer. And again, if you are indeed His child, if you're a child of God's, if your elder brother is Jesus, do you act like it when it comes to conversations with Him? You know, we tend to take this word prayer, Chris, and make it almost, you know, mystical. And really, at the end of the day, we're talking to our elder brother. We're talking to our Father. It's a real relationship, isn't it? It's not this nebulous, mystical thing that we call prayer.
And it's coming believing that because of Christ, because I have a faithful mediator, God hears my prayers and receives my prayers and answers them according to His perfect will for me. What a wonderful encouragement. I'm not coming to an angry Father, but a Father who invites me to come and talk to Him, casting my burdens upon Him, and He promises us His help. He promises us His ear. That is the special privilege the Christian has to be able to come to the throne of grace in time of need and ask the Lord for grace and strength, and He promises to give that to you.
What a promise to close today's program out with, huh? And a lot of encouragement as it relates to you and I as parents, raising and training our children in godliness. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org, you can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.